NASA names new leadership for the Constellation program. Taiwan chooses SpaceX for the launch of a new satellite. And NBAA packs the place at Teterboro. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, June 16th, 2010. Just days after Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison accused NASA Administrator Charles Bolden of skirting the law to effectively shut down the Constellation program, the agency has appointed two new managers to oversee the effort. Both will be based in Houston. Lawrence D. Thomas has been appointed manager of NASA's Constellation program. He most recently served as the deputy program manager of Constellation at the Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama, and has been with NASA since 1983. Charles M. Stegemuller has been appointed deputy program manager. He most recently served as director of the Program Planning and Control Office for Constellation. The Obama fiscal 2011 budget would kill Constellation by this fall. I wonder if NASA will bother engraving new door tags. Taiwan's National Space Organization is looking ahead to the launch of its Formosat 5 Earth observation satellite, and it signed a contract with SpaceX to get it into orbit. Formosat 5 is slated to launch as early as December 2013 from the SpaceX launch site on the Omelek Island in the Kwajalein Atoll in the Central Pacific. Dr. H.P. Chang, Formosat 5 program manager, commented, quote, "The launch of Formosat 5 will build on the successful launch and operation of the Formosat satellites. SpaceX's approach to launch services is very well aligned with our goals and objectives for the program," unquote. SpaceX President Gwynne Shotwell commented, quote, "With over 40 flights now on manifest, SpaceX is positioned to deliver launch services across the increasingly varied needs of our commercial and government customers," unquote. The National Business Aviation Association reports a record crowd for its third of four regional forums for 2010. The event was staged at Teterboro Airport west of New York, a busy general aviation facility. NBAA says pre-registration pointed to 1,600 attendees, but 1,900 showed up, testing the parking plans and shuttle schedule. More than 30 aircraft were on static display, and more than 80 commercial exhibitors lined a hangar, which also housed a buffet lunch, and served as a venue for NBAA President Ed Boland's address. A packed house heard Boland discuss association strategies to combat business aviation's renewed fat cat image. The event eclipsed NBAA's previous record of 1,300 attendees at a New York area forum. The association's final 2010 regional forum is scheduled for Chicago on August 18th. Up next on ANN, an erased tape leaves a TSA complaint with no evidence. HBC says winglets for the King Air 90 are now approved. And EAA's Young Eagles takes the next step. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 16th. I'm Paul Plack. If you feel you've been abused in the TSA airport screening process and want to take legal action, do it quickly. That's among the lessons of an encounter between 63-year-old Nancy Ann Phillips and a screener at Philadelphia. Phillips says she was touched inappropriately with a detection wand by a female screener, and when she complained, was harassed and detained for more than 2 hours. The TSA says Phillips was defensive and uncooperative from the start and claims a videotape of the encounter shows the screener held the wand properly and that Phillips reacted before any unwelcome contact was made. But we'll never know for sure. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports that airport policy calls for tapes to be erased and reused after 30 days. Hawker Beechcraft Services reports testing and certification on the Beechcraft King Air 90X composite winglet modification has been completed. Winglets for King Air C90 and E90 models are now available for installation at the company's network of factory-owned service centers. The upgrade was introduced at last year's EAA AirVenture. The two-part conversion combines winglets with a gross weight increase to create enhanced King Air 90 handling range payload capability. HBS is offering the upgrades individually or combined in a competitively priced package. Since 1992, EAA members have provided more than 1.5 million young Eagles with introductory flight experiences in general aviation aircraft. On Monday, EAA announced the next element of the flight plan, which can provide a young Eagle with his first flight lesson. Young Eagles co-chairman Jeffrey Skiles observed, quote, "Last year, we were proud to offer all young Eagles their own pilot logbook and free access to Sporty's complete online pilot training course. More than 3,000 have already enrolled in the course, and several have taken or soon will be ready to take their flight test and earn a pilot certificate. With the addition of the first flight lesson, we continue to build on the enthusiasm shown by these young Eagles and help them continue their journey toward a certificate," unquote. To be eligible for the first flight lesson, a young Eagle must enroll in the Sporty's complete online pilot training course, finish part one of the course, and be over the age of 14. Once this goal is met, EAA will notify participants via email that they are eligible for flight lessons. After a parental consent form is returned, EAA will issue a voucher that can be redeemed at a local flight school of the participant's choice. EAA says it continues to explore other opportunities for additions to the flight plan so more young Eagles can pursue aviation. Still ahead, a 172 owner appears to have been killed by his own prop. Australia gets serious about aircraft bomb hoaxes. And environmentalists sue the EPA over airplane emissions. You're listening to AeroNews.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, June 16th. I'm Paul Plack. A dentist in Minden, Nebraska, was apparently hit and killed by the turning prop of the Cessna 172 he owned, but details about what really happened are sketchy. The Kearney Hub of Kearney, Nebraska, reports that according to local police, the 60-year-old dentist, Dr. Bob E. Etzelmiller, was found dead at Pioneer Airfield in Minden just before noon last Thursday. Photographs have been sent to the FAA office in Lincoln for analysis, but all indications are the death was accidental. The Australian government has passed a new law imposing a maximum 10-year prison term for claiming there's a bomb aboard an airplane. The previous penalty was just 2 years. AFP News reports that a person calling an airline and claiming there's a bomb on board a plane faces a 10-year sentence, as does anyone who assaults a member of an aircrew. Damaging an airplane or runway would carry a 14-year term, and attacking a pilot or endangering an airplane in any way will earn a 20-year prison sentence. Hijacking or destroying a plane carries a life sentence. Home Affairs Minister Brendan O'Connor commented, quote, "Australian aviation security agencies face tough challenges and must be supported with up-to-date laws and penalties that reflect the seriousness of these crimes," unquote. Finally today, a lawsuit has been filed by a coalition of environmental groups against the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, claiming EPA has not addressed greenhouse gas emissions coming from airplanes, ocean-going ships, non-road vehicle engines, and industrial engines. The suit was filed in federal district court in Washington, D.C., by Earth Justice and the Western Environmental Law Center on behalf of five additional groups. The blog Favestocks reports that the coalition claims the four classes of engines account for nearly a quarter of all U.S. mobile greenhouse gas emissions, and is projected to grow rapidly. I have a question. Where were these guys when experimentals designed to run on autofuel were forced back on leaded avgas by the forced addition of ethanol by the farm lobby? Well, at least they've moved on from cow farts. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature, Today, I'll talk with Jay Carlson of Rotor FX about the Mosquito Ultralight Helicopter and a new two-place helicopter being brought in from the Ukraine. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.